Life is precious. I've seen that video 4 or 5 times now, and each time I watch it, I'm just amazed by the plan of God and the beauty of life and the wonder of the design and how God can say that there He is in your mother's womb. I formed you. I shaped you. And what a beautiful picture of a creative God that can make such beauty and wonder. And we can celebrate today life. We are celebrating life. We're celebrating life at every age and at every point. We give thanks to God that His hand is on us and He cares deeply about us. I want to say this morning that God cares so very deeply about every person that's here. Your life is important to God. Wherever you're seated this morning, whatever you're wearing, wherever you've been this week, whatever you're doing, I want to say this morning that your life is important to God and He cares deeply about you. Jesus talked a lot about life. He talked a lot about how valuable people were, and He showed by His actions how every person was important to Him. We are in a series of messages from the words of Jesus, from sometimes His miracles, sometimes His parables, sometimes from His interactions with people, but all along the way we have seen and we read that Jesus cares deeply about people. We know that the Bible says that man is created in the image of God. It's not just mankind that's created in the image of God, but every person is. Every single individual is created by God and in His image. There's something within you. There's something that makes you up that bears the image of God. You bear the image of the Heavenly Father. And that's something to celebrate and to ponder and to wonder what it all can mean. I want to invite your attention this morning to the words of Jesus about life in John chapter 10, and about a particular way that Jesus described Himself. In John chapter 10, Jesus talked about how much God cares about our lives, and I want to read this morning the first 11 verses of John chapter 10 and Jesus' words about being the great shepherd and what that means for us. I want us to think this morning about what it means that Jesus describes Himself as the great shepherd and how much He values our lives. John chapter 10, begin reading at verse 1. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said it again. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This picture that Jesus gives us is the description of how Jesus looks at and wants us to understand him. When we read the Gospel of John, we find that John, uniquely to the other three Gospels, especially focuses on describing Jesus and using the words of Jesus and how he described himself. I mean, somehow it seems like John had in his mind or in his heart when he wrote the Gospel that's attributed to his name, somehow he wanted us to understand maybe from the very words of Jesus how Jesus described himself and what it was that Jesus was trying to convey to his disciples when he told these parables, when he told these stories, and when he described himself. John records, uniquely to the other three, 8 statements that Jesus makes about himself, and they're called the I Am statements. Those of you that maybe have heard this and read this or studied this know that Jesus made a series of statements about himself. He said, I am. For example, he said, I am the bread of life. And within that picture of the bread and the feeding of the multitudes, Jesus was conveying something about his nature and how important he was that people understand that he's the one that gives life. And then there's the I am statement, I am the light of the world, and many others. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, and recorded by John, makes these statements to help us to understand who Jesus really is. And so this is one of many good ways it would be for you or for me to study who Jesus is. Just read what Jesus said about himself when he said, I am. Well, in this picture, in this I am statement, Jesus is describing how he wants us to see him. He wants us to see him as a great shepherd. He wants us to understand his heart is shepherding. It gives us an image of care and protection, and it gives us an image of God that may be different than sometimes we have of kind of a hard being sitting on a throne in heaven just watching and recording who's doing what and just kind of monitoring the situation. The picture that Jesus gives of himself is very different than that. Jesus gives us a picture of himself as a God who cares deeply about people. And he is wanting to be connected to them. Not only cares deeply, but the story of the Good Shepherd reminds us that Jesus wants to be connected to us. He wants us to know that he wants us to hear his voice and respond to him and be connected day in and day out. A shepherd was very important in Jesus' day. Obviously, we realize that in Jesus' day and culture, many of the people worked outside in the fields, taking care of the crops and the animals. And so shepherding was very important in Jesus' day. And there's examples throughout the Bible of good shepherds and bad shepherds and how that was applied to the priesthood of Israel. And throughout the Bible, we kind of have a little bit of a focus on shepherds and you look at it in one way. And those stories that we have about shepherds connect us to how God wants to relate to us. For example, Psalm chapter 23, probably along with John 3:16, the most quoted scripture in all the Bible, says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The psalmist there captures his understanding that the Lord was his shepherd and what that meant, that God led him into green pastures and watched over him, and all those beautiful pictures that we have of the 23rd Psalm. Truly, the shepherding of Jesus is a great picture of the heart of God. Some of the great characters of the Bible were shepherds. You realize, although we don't think of them this way, but Noah was a shepherd. At what time in his life? Moses was a shepherd when he was in the wilderness. And we certainly think of King David, how the little boy David was a shepherd boy and how he killed the lion and the bear. And God called this little run of a boy to be the king of Israel because God saw much further deep within than man could do. And then David wrote some of the most beautiful passages about the shepherd as well. And then we come to the New Testament. We have Jesus taking this picture of the good shepherd. And he describes the good shepherd in John chapter 10. There's several qualities of the good shepherd I want to highlight this morning. The first thing that comes to my mind when I see Jesus' words in John chapter this, it's this. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them. You know that Jesus calls out to his sheep. Jesus knows their name. It says there in verse 3, he calls his own sheep by name. Again, as I said before, you realize that you are unique to God. You are as unique to God as any individual thing can be distinguished from another. You're unique to God. You look unique. We all look unique. We know we have fingerprints. I mean, just the design that God made life and people should reinforce to us that there's a purpose for that and a reason for that. God made us individually. He knows all about our lives. He knows our voice. He knows our voice box. He knows our name. He knows our actions. He knows our history. He knows our story. We can't hardly relate to that being finite people, but an infinite God knows us so very well. He knows everything about us, not just our name and our date of birth, but he knows our personality. He knows our wiring, if you want to use that word. He knows our tendencies. He knows those things that have affected us and impacted us. He already knows that. He knows all that. He calls his own sheep by name. God uniquely knows every one of this, every one of us. And also, the great shepherd tells us in this story that he speaks to his sheep. Not only does God know your voice, but God wants to speak to you, and he will speak to you. He says, my sheep know my voice. It's not just a random thing that God speaks and maybe we happen to be listening, but God is speaking directly to you. God is speaking to you today and wanting you to hear Him and respond to Him and know that He has something to say to you. God is always speaking. The Good Shepherd is always speaking. We believe that somehow Jesus is at the right hand of the Father today, interceding for the saints. He's speaking through the Holy Spirit. God is speaking to you today. No matter what's going on in your life today, I want to tell you that God is speaking to you. I don't believe that God is screaming, but He is speaking. I believe that God has something to say to every one of us when we open His Word, when we quiet ourselves before Him through the circumstance of life. Sometimes through people around us, God is able to speak to us, and He wants to speak to us. God's Holy Spirit is promised to speak to us. The Holy Spirit is always at work within the believer. We believe that when you become a Christian, God gives us the Holy Spirit. And one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to speak to us day by day in an ongoing relationship. Jesus wants us to know how important that is to the heart of God. If you want to know God's will for your life, you have to listen for His voice. You have to give your circumstances and your problems and your life to Him and listen for His response. I wrote down in my notes and I said in the first service, God wants us to listen quietly. By that I mean God wants us to take time to hear His voice. If you don't take time to hear God's voice, you'll never hear it. I can say that I can probably say two times in my life when I would say that I felt like God spoke to me in a loud way. I don't know what word to use. It was so real and sure to me that I knew God was speaking to me about something. One time was when I felt a call to preach, but that hasn't happened very often. All the other times in my life when I've sensed God's guidance in my life, it's been when I've been listening quietly. And maybe we're all different and God speaks to us in different ways and maybe God speaks to you with a loud voice, but I have found for my own relationship with God that I hear God's voice when I quiet myself before Him. When I say, I want to hear the shepherd. When I say, shepherd, I need you. Shepherd, I don't have all the answers. Shepherd, I don't know everything. Shepherd, I can't tell everybody else what to do, but I've got to listen to you. The truth is, if we want to hear the voice of God, we've got to be able to listen quietly. We've got to be able to get to that place, whether it's auditory, quiet, or just in our hearts, still before God and humbled and say, God, I need your voice. I'm asking you to speak to me. I have found in my life when I've done that, that God has spoken to me. God has led me. I have felt in my spirit of what I should do or shouldn't do, and I'm not saying that every time I've had a question, God has come down and showed me, but I can tell you more often than not when I have asked God and I've quieted myself, I have felt His guidance in my life. And I know that that's what the shepherd wants to do for you. One of the most important things about the shepherd is he wants to speak to us. He wants us to hear His voice. Listen quietly. I want to encourage you, if you are wondering about God, maybe you're here this morning and you're wondering whether God exists. I'm sure there's some people that are kind of in the valley of decision about God in your life. Do I really believe that there's a God? Do I really believe that He talks to us? I want to say to you from the bottom of my heart, the way that you find Him is that you listen quietly, that you come before His Spirit and you humble yourself. And you say, God, I need you. I want you. I'm listening to you. And I can promise you, Jesus said, he who cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I want you to know today that if you have doubts about God, the best thing you can do is just take them to the heart of God and give them to Him and say, God, if you're real, I ask you to speak to my heart. I ask you to show me the path. Humility is the door that opens up our hearing to the voice of God. He speaks to us, the Good Shepherd, and He wants to lead us. He leadeth me. Psalm chapter 23 says, beside still waters. There's something beautiful about that verse and about that idea from that psalm that just It's comforting to me. He leadeth me beside still waters. That means somehow God knows where there's turbulence inside. He knows where you're wrestling with faith, or you're wrestling with problems, or you're wrestling with a broken relationship, or you're wrestling with health issues, or you're wrestling with your past, or you're wrestling with forgiveness. He knows the turbulent waters, and He will lead you to peaceful waters. He will lead you to the place of quietness, to the place of peace, to the place of contentment, to the place in your life when all those things that are unresolved and you're struggling with, God can help you to find the answers so that you can let go of them perhaps, or that you can hold on to the things that you need to, that you can say, God, You're real in my life. It's one thing to believe in God when you come to church, and we all believe in God to some degree, but it's something else when you take to God everything in your life and you say, I want You to lead me. I want You to do all these things in Psalm chapter 23. He leadeth me beside still waters. This morning, I'm wondering if we have quieted ourselves before our shepherd so that He can speak to our heart and lead us and guide us. He wants to lead you. He wants to listen to you. He wants to know your voice. He wants to be close to you. Jesus is a God who wants closeness. He wants to be touched to your life and your circumstances. We also know that Jesus is watching out for us as the good shepherd. He is protective. He's watching out for you. Jesus is aware of the turmoil and aware of the enemy in your life. He is protective. He knows that there is a great deceiver. In fact, this passage begins with Jesus acknowledging the deceiver. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. Jesus knows that there is truth and there's a lie. There is the sureness of His revelation, and there is the great deceiver who will try to get you where he can and destroy you. Satan has a place, a hook for every single one of us. Whether you've been in the church for a few weeks or for 70 years, Satan is trying to find that area in your life of weakness and discourage you. He's trying to take that one temptation that you may be subject to, and he's trying to turn you. He's trying to find that area of bitterness or unforgiveness or that broken relationship or something in your life that he can hook you by and pull you away from his truth. Whether you're 90 years old or you're 14 years old today, Satan is trying to come after you. And Jesus warns us in this scripture several times. He says, there's a thief and a robber. There's a thief and a robber that wants every single one of us. He's going to exploit whatever he can to pull you away from truth and from the heart of God. Jesus wants to protect you. He says, I'm watching out for my sheep. David watched out for a sheep and killed the lion and the bear. And here Jesus talks about his protectiveness, how he cares deeply about us, that all of us have an enemy. The truth is today, please hear this morning. Whoever you are, Satan is going to try to get you. He's going to try to find something to hook you somewhere in your life, somewhere in your experiences. Wherever you're at, Satan's got a hook for you. So Jesus warns us about that. Later on, we're warned throughout the New Testament to be careful about the enemy. Be careful because there's the roaring lion that is prowling around looking for someone to devour. We're told in another place that every man is tempted, but we're also told that Jesus was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus understands our temptation, for we do not have a priest that cannot sympathize with our sins. He understands where we're at, and he cares deeply about us. The Good Shepherd today is to be embraced, to be worshiped, to be loved, to be honored, to be listened to. He's a great shepherd, and he laid down his life for the sheep. Jesus also says that the great shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Even before Jesus went to the cross, he knew what was going to happen, and he told us in this I am statement, I am giving my life for you. I'm giving it all for you. That's how much God loves us. He is always watching out for us. I think of another story that Jesus told. He told a parable of the lost sheep, again about the shepherd and trying to show us the heart of God about lost people. And how he's always pursuing, he's always seeking, he's always restoring, he's always patient, he's always kind. Think of all the always terms you can think of to fit the story of the lost sheep, and there's the heart of God. See, there's the shepherd. He's got his 99 sheep, but there's only one missing. And what does he do? He leaves the 99 behind. In the parable, he says it explicitly. I left them behind. He's not saying he don't care about the 99. You know that. What he's saying is, I care about every single person. There's not a person I don't care about. And he goes out and he searches and he searches and he searches until he finds a lost sheep. And the story says he joyfully puts the sheep on his shoulders. Sometime in your life, you either have been or will be the lost sheep. All of us have been. Some have been found. But I want you to know this morning, if you're here and you're that lost sheep, God is looking for you. You know who you are. God is looking for you because He loves you so much. That's the kind of shepherd Jesus is for you and for me. If you're wondering today if Jesus knows where you're at, that means He's looking for you. He's a great shepherd. A loving God. I just wonder this morning if there might be some people who need to open their heart even today to the shepherd. Would you stand? I had more that I was going to say about the shepherd today, but I just feel like I'm going to stop there. Debbie, would you come and play? Not in every service do I specifically invite people to open their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. I'm preaching about other things and thinking about a lot of things, but today I just kind of felt like right now, I need to do that. Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes? I will never call you out or embarrass you, but I just wonder if there's anybody here that just wants me to know. You want to put your hand up and say, Pastor, I know that I'm a lost lamb, and I want you to know that. If so, put it up. I'm not going to do anything other than pray for you. But I'm wondering if there's anybody here and would like me to know that today. God knows your heart. He knows your life, and He loves you so much. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you know our hearts today. You've seen our hearts. You know our voice. You know where we're at. You know, God, today that Jesus loves us so much. He gave up His life for us. We have the privilege and the opportunity by faith to open our heart and receive You by saying, Lord Jesus, we accept Your death on the cross for our sins. We have the opportunity today to invite You to come into our lives, to live in us. I pray, God, that each person that's here that needs to say that prayer would humble themselves before You. They would not play church. They would not pretend, but they would know that the relationship with God is a real one and a personal one and a choice they have to make. God, help each one of us to make that decision. this morning. We thank you that you're the good shepherd. Thank you, God, that you care about us and know about us, whoever we are, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Would you be seated for a moment?